This is Will's Band of the Week for March 31st, 2024. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jason from the Green Monster of Monona, Wisconsin.
Hello.
And there's something green in the background. Is that looks like a
Oh, it's my green screen.
Or something. Oh, cool. That's for, like, making videos?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's sophisticated.
Sure. Yeah, I used it in a recent music video.
Do you have to have a perfect shade of green, or can it be sort of any green?
No, I used to patch together several pieces of construction paper,
mm-hmm.
but then I upgraded for $10 or whatever. But yeah, this works a lot better. It's a lot more consistent.
Is it a setting that you use? Like, do you have a video recorder standalone thing or just a phone that you use?
I just use a phone.
And then how do you use green screen with a phone?
And then I import it into iMovie on the Mac computer.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have anything fancy.
So the video you do on the phone then just shows the green, but then with iMovie you can...
Yeah, it'll get rid of the green and just have whatever you want to have that's not green. So you can't wear a green t-shirt because then your body will disappear.
Yeah, it'd be see-through or something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or put green face paint on. Can't do that.
Yeah, that wouldn't work either.
What if you have green eyes? Does it put a little hole in your eye then? I
doubt that. Like, I'm not shooting in 4K or anything, so yeah. I doubt my technology is going to pick that up.
And that shade of green isn't like what people's green eyes are either.
So. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. It's beyond my level, since I've done very little visual art.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like it's beyond me too, but that's what YouTube tutorials are for.
There's a YouTube tutorial for everything. Here's an example. Replacing the battery in the key fob for your car. Right? Like, you don't even think about that. Like, where would the battery be in that thing? Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, YouTube to the rescue, put in your model of car. Tells you exactly what to do.
So many car things. I always have to go when we have our battery reset. I always have to go to find out how to reset the radio. It'd always be a weird code. Why do they do that? That's ridiculous.
That's terrible. It's like a mean thing to do.
Yeah.
Yep. Fun stuff. All right. Well, Spen, we have some things to report on. Most notably, I think the most notable thing would be this. I'm kind of happy that since getting back from Austin, I've continued to do a little bit of rocking.
You sure have.
So we can't let the momentum completely stop, right? Got to keep doing the rocking. David's been rocking too. He's unstoppable. Of course, he's in Brooklyn, so there's a show every night.
Yeah.
Multiple shows every night. So, all right. Well, I went to see indie rock veterans / legends Slater Kinney, and got my wife to go. And I think the main reason I got her to go was that the opener was Black Belt Eagle Scout, one of her favorites.
Yeah.
And so it was at the Arena Rock venue here in Madison, the Sylvie. Have you been to the Sylvie, by the way?
Nope, I've never been there.
Because they don't have, that doesn't really surprise me, because they don't, everybody who plays there, the place has a capacity of 2,500. So it's, you know, it's arena rock. So they don't have cool bands like, you know, Glenn Donaldson doesn't play there.
He should. I think I thought about going when, I think, wouldn't Death Cab for Cutie, didn't they play there? Yeah. Yep. I kind of thought about that for a hot minute, but then I probably saw the ticket price.
Are kind of high. Yeah. I think they may have played there twice. The first time they played there, my wife and I went. And it was okay. It was a little, I don't know. I feel like more recent, like I think you and I both liked the most recent album. But the show, it was okay. It wasn't great, but it was fine, you know. But I've seen Mitski there, and you know, big Cheap Trick I saw there. Garbage, because some of my friends were going. I've never been that huge on Garbage, but so I've been there a few times. Anyway, Black Belt Eagle Scout was great. She's rocking. She's continuing to, I don't know, it was neat because I hadn't listened to her music in maybe a couple of years, and seems to be going strong. Three-person band this time. I'm pretty sure I've seen her, this is at least the third time, and one time I think it was just the woman, Catherine Paul, and a drummer, and she was playing guitar. And then another time she had a bass player, and this time she had a second guitar player. So the mixes are, you know, a little bit different, but the effect that she goes for is still, the vibe is similar. And it was great. Great. She's going strong. A lot of the, it reminded me about how her songs tend to have these really mellow starts, and then they just gradually build to a totally rocking thing at the end. So very cool. Very positive review on Black Belt Eagle Scout. Slater Kinney, I was telling you about this. Yeah. You know, it was just kind of okay, and it made me think, you know, I sort of think they're cool more than I love their music, you know, because they are cool, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, we've talked about how they, Janet Weiss isn't in the band as the drummer anymore. They have a perfectly competent, very skilled drummer, and two extra players who play keyboards and extra guitars, some bass too, maybe. Yeah. But, you know, I just think I'd rather see them 15 years ago as a three-piece, you know?
Totally.
So, you know, it was all right, and the crowd was very enthusiastic. So, you know, it's cool to see them doing well, but not super. They didn't really hit my sweet spot all that much. So it's a so-so review. Then that takes us to the next live report, which, of course, was our very own Red Pants.
That's right.
That was good, Jason. It was
great.
Get
out the mixed reviews here.
Wasn't that good? No, it was really. Barrett and Chris came out too, and
it was so much fun.
You guys played at a venue called the Burr Oak, and I thought it was a great setup for you and Elsa. Sound was really good. Your guitar was nice and blaring, you know, to a pretty good loud level, which I think is cool.
Good. Yes.
And you know, the mix, the drums were good. Everything was good. So, it was neat too. I kind of liked your set list was interesting because I had no idea what you were going to play in what order, and you kind of mixed stuff up to be pretty unpredictable. You know, the easy thing to do would just be play your latest album, right?
Yep.
But you mixed it pretty well. So
I think we pretty much stuck with like the last couple of albums, but I don't know. It was, we kind of went a little. With a weird choice for an opening song that starts out kind of slow. I don't know why that was a good idea.
I think it worked fine. Yeah.
It's like half slow, half really fast song.
Sure. Why not?
You know, try it out. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun on stage, and people seemed to dig it. Got a lot of no bass, huh? Sounds pretty good. Well, I think I had three or four different people say something to that fact.
Like, where's the bass? You do have a very good thick sound coming from that Jazzmaster.
Yeah, so I like to keep it, you know, the low end It's a lot of the songs are tuned down, so there's a lot of heft in there, I think.
And for the guitar geeks, like, I think Nicholas will appreciate this. So Chris was asking, how can he have a capo and he's playing below the capo? That shouldn't work. Like, and I said, oh, I didn't notice. That's very interesting, because it wouldn't really, like, make a sound. It would just make, like, a plucking sound or whatever. And then you divulged the trick, which is you only have four of the six strings capoed.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, man, that's rock and roll right there.
I know. It's fun stuff. Yeah, there were a lot of guitar nerds in the crowd that were asking me pedal questions and, you know, and what tunings were, what guitar was in what tuning, and because I did switch guitars to try to, I tried to streamline the tuning issue, but I still felt self-conscious about having to tune every 2 to 3 songs. But yeah, what can you do?
Yeah, it's a little tricky when you have multiple tunings.
Yeah, these songs were not designed for us to go out and play shows, I kind of realized when putting together a set list.
Right.
Like, yeah, we never got to play this. Let's play it in this tuning. Yeah.
Recording, but you don't have to worry. You know, right. You have all the time, you know. But then you're playing live, it's like, wait a minute. It's a quick switch from one tuning to the other. Yeah. Well, anyway, great. Congratulations on the gig. I thought it was great.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out. It was a lot of fun.
And it's such an exclusive thing, because you guys are playing like 3 gigs a year or something like that.
we're not going to start playing a ton of gigs. We just, I don't know.
Until you just get offers you can't refuse.
Well, that's what happened with the two that we've gotten. I was like, oh, it's Saturday night. Can't beat that at the Burr Oak.
Right.
Let's do it.
Yep. Yeah, What if Glenn Donaldson called you and said, would you guys mind, you know, hanging out with us for 10 European tour dates?
Oh, that would be hard, you know? Wouldn't it? That'd be hard to say no.
Unless they made you pay all the expenses.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know what? That's one thing that that does come up at South by Southwest, and that is that a lot of the bands from overseas, there's obviously no way they could afford the travel expenses and all that. So they've got funding, you know, they're like arts councils, and, you know, they put together the funds to send them over there, which is how it really should be. You know, it has to be for people that just, I mean, it just wouldn't be affordable whatsoever. So we'll help you negotiate. Maybe our friend John, you know, he's a manager. Maybe he can negotiate you guys, a lucrative little mini tour. Would that be cool?
Yeah.
I'm getting you in trouble with your family already just by bringing this up, right? Yeah. I don't know. You never know, right? If somebody would be, you know, just want to do it, some promoter or something.
You never know. You just put it out into the world and see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah, anyway. Oh, so cool. So cool. That was really fun. So, and I know put out the news that you got a gig at the Shitty Barn.
I know. Yes,
Spring Green.
Yep.
Yes.
Not until August, but I think that'll probably be it for us for playing shows, as far as I know.
And that's a tough gig to get. You know, they don't have that many shows, and they're very, very highly regarded, the Shitty Barn.
Yeah. Yeah. They sent a message through Facebook, and I honestly thought it was a scam at first. And I was like, well, okay, I'll reply to this and send an email, and then they'll ask me for my mom's maiden name and my social security number, and then I'll know that I'm not really getting a show. But no, it was real, and yeah, so we're playing. I can't remember. It's like a Friday in August, mid-August, like August 15th or 16th, I think.
I know this. It's the 16th because it's my twin son's
birthday. That's right.
I'm like, I would like to go. I'll have to see what the whole family situation is leading up to that. So anyway, oh, so cool.
Yeah,
I think really I might have mentioned, I'm pretty sure that I've been there like 10 years ago before they started having like a whole season of cool things. And it was really cool. it's just a barn, you know, but it's not really shitty. It's like a kind of a nice barn.
They it looks call it nice the, from the pictures.
You should call it the nice barn. All right. It's in Spring Green, the famed hometown of, or whatever, the location of Taliesin, right? The Frank
yep.
Lloyd Wright famous
Wright, yep.
place. Yeah.
And what's that rock place?
The House on the Rock?
The House on the Rock, yeah.
I've never been there. I've heard.
Oh, it's pretty funny.
I've heard that it's ridiculous. So it you might ridiculous. Find we it went... fun because it's ridiculous, or you might hate it, is what people tell me.
It's kind of in between.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Connie was like 8 months pregnant, and we went out there for like the baby moon thing that everybody does before you have your first child.
Yeah. So interesting. Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, that's you're getting your few and far between gigs are good ones, so that's cool.
Yeah, we'll keep it up.
Maybe the Sylvie will come calling for you to do some arena rock. Who would play we'll there? Who could possibly play there that would be a good match for you guys? I don't know. Always is playing there. It'd be about as close as you can get.
I would happily open for Always.
Yeah. Maybe I'll send them a message. I'll say, if you're looking for an opener, I know this guy.
local opener.
Right.
Yep.
I think there's an opener, and I can't remember who it is. So, anyway. All right. Very good. I guess we have music to talk about. Do we have anything else? Any other bonus?
Not that I know. I haven't been paying attention to the news, though, either. So, there may be stuff out there that I've missed.
Should we tell the listeners to buy your merch, your unsold merch? Because I saw your merch that you put on your page, and I'm like, I got to get that. That's that sticker is so cool.
Yeah, I made I did this little drawing. I did a drawing a couple years ago of this handheld cassette recorder, and people were like, "Oh, you need to make that into a T-shirt," and I just never did it. But I made it into a button, and then I did this drawing of my 4-track and made that into a sticker.
Yeah, so, that was my favorite. That's super cool.
Hopefully Tascam doesn't sue me. I didn't put their name on it, so. the Red Pants 4-track model.
Yeah. It'd be terrible if you got sued. Okay. Well, people should buy it. Go to the Red Pants. Is it on the Red Pants Bandcamp? Is that the red.bandcamp.com?
I believe so.
Yeah, go there and buy up Jason's merch. It's great stuff. Super cool. And it's criminally cheap. I think you're underselling the value. But
okay. Yeah. I'll hike up the prices next week.
You should jack up the prices for sure. Yeah.
Get them while it's hot.
Yep.
And cheap.
Yep. Yeah, you got some LPs left too, don't you? Are those not on the site?
So.
Are the ones on the site? The ones on the site were the ones that that the record company is distributing, right?
Yep. Yep.
Correct. Then people can come to your house, though, and get it.
They can come to my house. Yep. Yeah. Give me a call or DM me. And
The address is Green Monster. So just look that up. Monona. Very convenient. Easy to get to. So, yeah. Okay. Here we go. We have music to talk about once again. Well, I guess we start with the full album, right? I think there were a couple of you know, the cool indie blogs. Are you the one who told me about Rosie Overdrive?
Maybe.
That guy does like 3 posts a week, and he features 3 or 4 albums, and then he says, "Oh, and by the way, here's a few more," and there's like a dozen more on there. And it's like, oh my God, it's crazy. So that might have been one of the places I saw this one. And then I think and then just recently after I listened to this album, so I got to take credit. I had already been listening to it, but the When You Motor Away blog, which is another really good one.
Oh, nice.
It brought up this album. The band is called Dancer, and they're from Glasgow. So you know, when there's a cool Glasgow band, got to talk about them. I'll preface this by saying I was playing it in the car with my son Jackson in the car. Jackson is a... He likes a lot of post-punk stuff, and he likes – he's not afraid of stuff that's maybe a little abrasive or whatever, and he's like, I just don't like this band.
Oh, no.
So I couldn't win him over with this one. So and it did make me think of my friends who I my bandmates, actually. I sent them a couple of videos from South by Southwest, and the most common comment I would get was, that singer is off key. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess so. It's all right with me, you know. Some people are a little more just keyed into and, you know, bothered when the singer's just a little bit off, which usually doesn't bother me. So I think the singer in this band, she's kind of off the wall a little bit, right?
Yeah. Off kilter, maybe?
A little, not totally shouty screamy, but there's a little shouty screamy to go along with the not totally on key singing. And yeah, so I think it's not for everybody, but I think I liked the rhythmic aspect, and the bass is great on this, and just a fun album. So it's Dancer. The album is called 10 Songs I Hate About You, and they introduce all the songs. She says the song title at the beginning,
and she right? Yeah, she did that on the EPs too. I don't know if you listened to their EPs.
Oh no, but I didn't.
They put out a couple EPs last year, and I mean, like, the first EP she did it, and then this. And I was like, I wonder if she's going to do this again on the second EP. Sure enough, she did it. And I thought, for sure. This is an album. She does it again.
So do you have so much indie rock cred that you listened to this band before?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
wow.
I found out, I don't know. I think we found each other on the internet. So I've talked just like a tiny bit. Like, we've kind of conversed a little bit on the internet.
Oh, God. You have so much indie rock cred. It's crazy.
Yeah, they like informed me that, you know, that they were going to be putting this out on Meritorio, which is so we're kind of label mates.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So I kind of knew it was coming, and so I've been watching for it. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I kind of wanted to ask where that came from, but I feel like if they get interviewed, that's probably going to be the first question everybody asks. So I can right. I can just hold off and read about it somewhere.
Right. Okay. I was really having a hard time deciding what track or tracks to play. So here, I have a strategy. I'm going to pick one, and then you can have picks two and three. How's that?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And in exchange for that, I'm going to play the first track, because I just think it's really catchy. So
okay. Sounds good.
Bluetooth Hell.
Bluetooth Hell.
That's Dancer, Jason's label mates on Meritorio Records. man, that the Meritorio guy, he searches the world over. I mean, it's pretty cool.
He's on it.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. I love that song. That's I love the structure. I don't know. It keeps me guessing as to what's coming next.
Some kind of non-traditional bass chords that they use, you know, which is kind of cool. It's some creative use of the bass on this album.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe a little discordant, but kind of in a cool way, in my opinion. So, all right, now we turn it over to Jason.
Okay. Well, I'm going, you didn't take any of my tracks, so I'm excited.
All right.
Track 4, for all the like Dawn of the Internet references, I think, are in this song. Track 4, Rein It In, is my top pick.
Rein It In, followed by A Diagnosis.
Yep, absolutely. Solid pick.
Oh, it's so good. I love all the wackiness going on in the guitar.
Yeah.
It's very like late 70s, I feel like, no wave stuff out of New York. I don't know.
Yeah, the way that the guitar and the bass kind of mix together, too.
Mm-hmm. Sort of
musically
intermingle and stuff.
Yeah, kind of rhythmically.
Interesting ways.
Yeah, that's super cool. All right. We're going to play one.
Clever that we got the title for not that song, but the song after that also, because they go together. So, and then my other one is one where she, the title is extended. Like she says a longer title than what is actually printed on the, which is track number 6, Make a Decision.
All right, let's do it.
Make a Decision, The Disillusionment of Dawn Glider. We'll be right back.
as Dancer. Yeah, I'm totally on board.
Yeah, I love the her vocals. I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. It's great stuff.
There's something it reminds me of, like early Bjork, maybe, or like Altered Images, or something like that from the 80s.
Yeah, I had a sort of B-52s vibe.
Yep.
Maybe that's more the instrumentation, but yeah.
Some of that spiky guitar.
Yeah, yeah. If the B-52s had come from Glasgow.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Right. Oh, very fun. Very fun.
That's the extension of my comparison game for today, I think.
Okay. I think one band in, and I think we're approaching $0 already.
Excellent.
That's my thinking. All right. Should we move on to the next band?
Sounds good.
So, well, I was obviously very impressed with Library Card in Austin. And then you immediately took to them, which is cool.
So, I did.
And David didn't see him till late in the week, but he was on board. And Jeremiah liked him. So I think we all liked Library Card. And it was fun that we got to talk to them a little bit, too. And they seemed really cool. So it gives you this little connection, which is really fun. They'll be like, that's the oldest person I talked to at South by Southwest. That was that guy. So, yeah. All right. Library Card from Rotterdam, and they just released an EP. I kind of think it was already released, so maybe this is one of those re-release type things.
Oh, really?
But yeah, because there was an older version of it, and then there's a new version that just had a release date of like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
maybe it got pressed or something to vinyl, and I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I don't have the explanation for that. However, it's good. Nothing Interesting, with a comma in between, is the title of the EP. And, let's play a track. How about if we play, even on an EP, generally you can't go wrong with track two. So this one has like,
starts with,
it's got rockin' drums. And I remember seeing this when they played it live. I'm like, man, he's going wild. What a beginning.
I would love to.
What a beginning to a song.
Yeah, it's excellent.
It's called For the World is Hollow. library card.
It's so heavy.
Yep. It's kind of heavy, and yep, that's sort of the whole vibe of it.
Yeah.
A lot of talk singing, and every once in a while she'll scream.
Right, and, yeah.
I mean, not really scream, but kind of yell.
It sort of sets it apart from the normal talk singing. Like, the immediate comparison is, what is it, dry cleaning?
Sure.
I think the talking. Yep. People are probably going to compare the two, but I think her just belting it out at times really kind of, like I said, it sets it apart from that.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're from what is going on in Rotterdam these days?
A lot of good rocking. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's great.
I immediately sent this band to Elsa, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. You got to check us out. And she asked the same thing. I was like, we need to move to Rotterdam for indie rock stardom, post-punk indie rock stardom.
Yeah. Yep. There's the other band was Tram House, which is real post-punky. Might want to check them out. And then and then a total change of pace, Nagasaki Swim is like this really just nice sounding band. Totally different, but also really good. So super cool.
And then Lewisburg, one of my favorite bands from last year, is also from there.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I love that band.
Boy, what a cool,
got a
fun
scene there right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow. Okay.
I'll pick a track.
You're going to pick a track now. Yep.
Since there's not a lot to choose from, I'll go back to track one because it's hilarious. I just want to know if all these things have been said to them at shows. And
right. It is funny, yeah.
Especially the have you ever heard of Sonic Youth part? Because I don't know, I got comments about the bass and then the Yola Tango comparisons that just it made me laugh so much whenever I heard this song.
All right, yep. It's called Well Actually. I just wanted to keep that going. It just keeps getting louder and louder, too. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
pretty great. A live highlight also.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it's just, I talk about this too much, but it's just so cool to be, to see bands and you're just like standing right next to them, you know. it sounded great. They were just awesome. All right. Well, I really love the fourth track, Cognitive Dissonance. I played that track actually in our South by Southwest preview, and then it was great. Got to see it live. And so I'll skip that one and play the what am I going to call this? It's like the unsung cool song on the album, I think. It's the quiet but building as it goes track, which is super cool, called Local Newspaper.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do that track justice. It just keeps building and building until it's just really intense. And yeah. Live, oh man. So the first time I saw them, they played it, and I'm just like, just enthralled, you know. The second time was in this bar, and I think they just decided that's too slow and intense for this bar setting, so they skipped it.
Sure.
But I was disappointed because, so when they played that, the singer was kneeling down gradually as a song goes on, turning up the, I don't know if it's just the volume or other something else on the guitar player's pedal, and she just gradually turns it up. It's just super cool.
Yeah, I wonder if it was like that reverb-y like delay or whatever, like if she's just like increasing,
it might be that
the wetness or something.
It could be it gets, yeah, plus the volume seemed like it got louder, so that by the end it was just like a complete wall of sound. Super cool. It's awesome,
man.
Yep,
come back to the States, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, library card. It's called Nothing Interesting. EP consisting of 6 songs, 21 minutes. So
yeah,
pretty good. Probably, I'm going to guess in a year they put out a full length album and it'll be really good.
Can't wait.
Yep. Totally cool. All right. We are absolutely over $0 right now. I mean, we could just stop right now.
For sure.
Easily. But we've got more because when a Flower Town album comes out, we have to have Jason on and we have to talk about it because this is becoming a podcast favorite.
Isn't that crazy? They're like becoming veterans of the indie rock world.
Yep, and they are still on Paisley's shirt, which is cool. I mean, I was glad to see that that there's still cool stuff coming out on Paisley's shirt. And this, of course, is Mike, a.k.a. Tony J, mm-hmm. right? And Karina, a.k.a. Cindy.
Yeah.
Let's see, and Mike is also in April Magazine, right?
I don't think he's playing in April Magazine anymore.
Oh, well, he was, because I was trying to figure out who was in it, and I looked up one of their things on Bandcamp, and he was in it.
He definitely was at one point, but I think he's I think that they're, yeah, I don't think he's playing with them anymore
Is there any overlap with any other bands that we've talked about before? It almost seems like there would be.
Yeah, not that I know of. I feel like in their music video, I think like Andy from this band Chime School
might
have been with them.
Okay.
And also I think he's playing in Sea Blight.
Oh yeah, Sea Blight.
I think he's like the drummer for Sea Blight, and he might play drums for Flower Town when they're playing live.
So this is
but it's primarily just Karina and Mike.
And you know, the cool Bay Area stuff, right?
Yeah, I think I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out. I think this year is going to be a big year. Like I can't keep up with
it's
everything
pretty cool.
coming out.
It's such a cool scene, you know. It's great. So, you know, this one again has like a few songs with drums and then a few that don't have drums, and I've always said, "Oh, the ones that don't have drums kind of drag a little bit." But for some reason on this album it kind of sustained itself better for me. Maybe because the songs with the drums are so good that you're just like in this flow and you're like, oh, all right, I can buy into this.
Yeah, and I mean, it's only 8 tracks and it's like, you know, it's very short, so it's straight and to the point.
Yeah, and it's 21 minutes, so it's the same length as the Library Card EP.
I like that they tend to do these kind of mini albums rather than doing full lengths for this project. I think they've only done one album that's been a full length. Everything else has either been like an EP or
just a short thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like 8 tracks like this is.
Do they play live very much?
I think it ebbs and flows because they're both probably so busy with Tony J and Cindy. I know Cindy's been really busy because they've really taken off, but.
Oh, really? That's cool. Is anybody from that scene going over to that European tour with the Reds, Pinks, and Purples?
I don't think so, but it seems like a lot of people are doing their own European tours somehow. Because I think Cindy did one not too long ago.
That's super cool.
Yeah, the Umbrellas are over there at the moment.
And they just I think Craig saw them. I haven't heard a report yet.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and they just announced a U.S. tour. The Umbrellas.
Of course,
they're skipping Madison because we aren't cool enough.
I know. I saw that too.
I think there's not even a Milwaukee gig. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think Chicago is like the closest that they're coming.
Yeah. Have we talked about the whole concept of Mastered by Mikey Young?
I mean, we've brought it up a lot, but is there a specific concept that I'm not aware of?
This album, Mastered by Mikey Young. I mean, he's got his hands on everything.
Yeah.
Send it to Mikey, you know?
Yeah. He's been mastering a lot of their stuff, I think. Like the Cindy, Tony J, Flower Town universe, I think has all been mastered by Mikey Young for a while.
I'm pretty sure Mikey Young's from Melbourne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I watched this little short kind of video about the ex-lead singer of the band Grass Widow, and
I don't think you told me.
She had moved to Melbourne, and she's like a woodworker, and she's got her studio, and then she's like, oh, and then we got this little music studio, and with my partner Mikey Young. So the Grass Widow lady and Mikey Young apparently are living together and sometimes make music or something.
Wow. I think Mikey Young has a band or two also. Right?
Yeah.
And we've maybe talked about, but I can't remember. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe Nicholas could do that. We could send stuff and have Nicholas master it. And then that would become the new cool thing.
Get that Australian sound.
Yeah. Yep. Work your magic.
Yep.
All right. let's play something from this new Flower Town album. Do you want to take the first pick?
Sure. I'm going to go track 3, the title track, Tourist Language.
I agree. It's like very hard not to pick that track, right?
Yeah.
Flower Town, the title track from the new album, Tourist Language.
It's a pretty classic Flower Town sound right there.
Totally is. Now, you tell me, that totally, to me, sounds like it was recorded on a 4-track.
I'm pretty for sure that they do, yeah.
I mean, I, you know, it's almost like you can't even hardly get that sound with a you know, digital recording or some, big, you know, it's almost like the... There's some sort of natural compression or something. It just sounds kind of washed out, kind of. And I love it how even, you know, the songs they have drums on, the drums are sort of buried in the mix, but it's kind of cool. It just...
Yeah, it's like they turn the treble all the way down on those drum tracks or something.
Right. Or there's like a blanket on the snare drum or something.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I think when I saw Real Estate, like... 12 years ago, they had a blanket on the snare drum. So you can get a cool effect that way. But
yeah, I do it here in the basement just to muffle it and quiet it down a little bit.
Hey, how are the drum lessons going?
I saw it's so embarrassing. I'm so horrible.
Now, was the story that your daughter was going to take the lessons? And
yeah,
then,
they started to take lessons and then didn't like having to practice 15 to 30 minutes every day. And I had already paid for a month, so I was like, "Well, I'll take him, you know, if you'll give him to me." And and he's fine with it, and he's been very encouraging. But God, I'm awful, and it's just so embarrassing being so bad at something. and I don't know. I learned like a new beat, you know, where and I went in there yesterday for my lesson. I was like confident that I had this beat figured out, and then like whenever I got in there and he's like playing along and we're listening to a song that we can play it to, it was just like I could not do it. It's so weird. I don't know.
It was the song you're playing along to was 2112 by Rush, right? No, that the opposite would be like play Highway to Hell by AC/DC. Like I always used to say, I can play AC/DC drums because it's the most basic beat you could ever have.
Well, then I'll look that up because that's what I can do.
Try some AC/DC drums. Yeah. Yeah. Drums are a weird thing because there's like there's a coordination that you have to have, and I can do it on a pretty basic level, not a very unsophisticated level. But there are people who can just walk up to a drum set and just play it. And then there are other people I know, like really good, some of my friends who are the best musicians I know.
Yeah.
They just can't do it, you know? And so, like, you're bold for just taking the step, you know, to try it, you know? And it's fun, right? Isn't it? It must be kind of fun because you kind of get an idea. Maybe you have more respect for Elsa now.
I have so much respect for anybody that gets on a stage and plays drums. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. I just can't. I don't know. There's something with my foot and the kick drum where it gets very tired very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea how people do that. I thought by now, because I've been doing them for like a month, I thought by now I would have strengthened that muscle a little bit, but no.
Think about, and then when you're trying to do it, and you're doing, I assume, just the basic, you know, bass drum, snare drum, hi-hat, you're trying to learn like that basic stuff, right?
Yep.
And then you think about drummers that play with both feet.
Yeah.
Or they play like a double bass drum, or they...
Yeah.
Or they've got...
Mind-blowing.
Or they have a, you know, or they're playing like with their foot on the hi-hat, not just like opening and closing it. They're like actually playing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like, there's levels way above what you and I could ever do. And it's crazy. So, but it's cool.
Yeah.
It's very fun. So
it's fun. And I don't know. It's fun to try something, you know, in your mid 40s. This is my, what is it? My midlife crisis.
I'm taking
drum lessons.
I took piano lessons when my son was taking them, and he didn't turn them down, but I had to take him to the music school, and I thought, well, I could take him there and just sit there and wait, or I could just take a lesson at the same time, you know, I was at the university. So I took like, I don't know, 6 or 8 lessons then, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
She was pretty critical, to be honest. She was like, why are you playing so hard? You need a better flow. Like, I didn't have enough flow, kind of easy. I was like pushing too hard and being like too rhythmic, like, or something.
Yeah. It's rock and roll.
I was trying to be rock and roll. Yeah. And so I had no feeling whatsoever in my playing.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God. I'm glad I did that. And then there was this Tom Waits song that I wanted to learn, and it was in the key of like B flat or something. It was ridiculous. It was like, oh my God. If I took another year of lessons, I probably could have learned that Tom Waits song, but I didn't even come close. So okay, let's play some more Flower Town.
Okay, sounds good. Mike and Karina, we went off on a tangent.
This is too predictable, but I'll play another song that has drums, number 6, The Ring.
All right.
Just
Flower Town.
Got to get that solo in there.
I was going to say, they don't do guitar solos very often, do they?
No, that was a special moment there.
And when they do it well.
Yeah, that was great.
Totally cool. Well, one more track to play. What are we going to do?
Oh, well, I'm going to pick a slow one. It's Bitter Orange. Is that the last track on the album?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, it's a really nice one. I really like the... When I can make out what they're saying, I really like the words in this song.
Sometimes you think it's a shame when you can get away with. Sometimes you almost wish
Flower Town. Yeah, definitely a good one.
Yeah, and they're still going consistent as I don't know, everything is always so good.
Somewhere I stumbled upon some article where Karina was being interviewed, and she said she's a professor at a community college. So it's like, it's interesting because these people in these bands that are pretty obscure, they can't make a living doing music, so they all have like regular day jobs, and it's always fascinating. It's not surprising when you're that they're like education related jobs, you know. Yeah. And just people. Yeah. That are just whatever creative people might do. I don't know, it's kind of cool. And again, they did in this track, they did what they did in one of the earlier tracks where they traded. Yes. Verses on the vocals, which. Yeah. Is so cool, right?
I meant to highlight that. That's one of my favorite tricks that they have up their sleeve.
Some bands trade lines, you know, or they do, yeah, you know, harmonies or whatever, and they trade full verses, which is great.
It's good stuff.
Yep. All right, another solid release. So I need to follow. I assume that Paisley Shirt has some releases coming out periodically, right?
They just announced some other cassette by somebody recently. It's coming out soon. It seems, I don't know if it's ramping back up to what he was doing a couple years ago, but yeah, it seems like maybe he's going to have some more time for that, for releasing stuff. I know he just, yeah. Kevin, talking about Kevin from Paisley Shirt, like he just finished getting his teaching certificate, I think. To become an educator, so he may have less time.
Another educator.
Yeah.
Man, all the indie rockers should be educating people, though. When you think of it that way, right? That's cool, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, like you're doing, Jason, just at a very young age, but you're turning... These kids will be so cool when they're older, right?
I hope so. I hope they don't go into public schools demanding more printmaking because they did a lot of printmaking. Like, where are your good art supplies at?
You're right. that's the terrible scenario where the teacher has to buy the supplies with their own money because they don't get enough funding, you know, that kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure you get a lot of funding, though, for all the supplies that you buy.
Well, I just it's called tax write-offs, I believe.
No, that is, like, so cool, though, that, I mean, my God. I'll tell you right now, Jason, if we could go back in time about 23 years or whatever, I would send my kids to the Green Monster. Oh, my God, what a cool... Oh, my God, they'd come out rockers.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Oh, that's great. All right, we could be done, couldn't we?
We could.
I mean, we are greater than $0 already. I mean, we've earned the right to kind of walk off into the sunset. But we kind of know at this point there's an expectation, right?
Yeah.
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
You got one easy to cue up?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if you ever heard of this band called Mission of Burma.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, I hadn't. I've heard of them, right, for forever. And forever, Elsa has always, she would always compare songs that I would come into practice with. She'd be like, you need to listen to Mission of Burma. And I finally listened to Mission of Burma a couple weeks ago, and now I'm, like, the biggest fan. So I'm picking Trem 2 from, what is it, Versus, I think is the album title.
Okay, I found the album. There it is, yeah. Track 3, Trem 2. Okay, now I know that I've listened a little bit, because they're sort of an 80s band, right? We'll see if I recognize this. It's from 1982. Mission of Burma, 80s band from Boston. There was kind of a cool Boston scene in the 80s.
Yeah. It's a really great, I don't know if we're supposed to promote other podcasts. There's a great podcast called Life of the Record, I think. And they did a deep dive into this album specifically, talking to the three of the guys that were in the band. And, yeah, it's really interesting. I'd recommend it to anybody. It's a great listen. But I don't know. I should have been listening to this band forever. So
yeah, that was a really, really good track. Yeah, I wish I had more music journalism on this band. Roger Miller,
right,
was one of the guys in the band.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I've got.
Well, they had to quit basically like as they were kind of peaking because what is the hearing thing, the tinnitus or whatever?
Oh yeah,
like he got that really young. And he couldn't stand, like, he would have earplugs plus gigantic earmuffs over his ears when they were trying to play. And it was so painful that he had to stop.
Oh, but that's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh,
at some point in like the mid or late 2000s, they made a comeback somehow, though. And apparently that stuff is quite good, but I've been sticking with the 80s stuff for now. Got to pay my dues.
Got to do that. Wow. Super cool. Good pick. Everybody's picks tend to be cooler than mine. But okay, mine's just going to be a random thing. We talked about how at South by Southwest you're just walking around and you just stumble upon a band that you never heard of. So I saw 1.5 songs of this band called Touch Girl Apple Blossom. And I just happened to be walking through. It's at one of these venues that has two bars and a back patio, and there's a band, you know, at each of those. So there's three stages and there's just like music going on like crazy. So you're like walking from one band to another, whatever. And then you're like, hey, wait a minute, this band sounds pretty good. So I saw 1.5 songs and then I had to, you know, go look and see who I was watching. And they're called Touch Girl Apple Blossom and they're from Austin. And, you know, just so many good bands in Austin. So you see these bands from Austin and then part of you is like, well, they're just from Austin. That's why they got the gig, right? Then you realize how many great bands there actually are in Austin. So, anyway, here you go. Touch Girl Apple Blossom. They put an EP out late last year. So here's a track called Sidewalk. That's Touch Girl Apple Blossom. Maybe a band you'll hear of more. Who knows?
That was great.
Yeah, pretty fun, right? It's a fun thing to just randomly run into.
Yeah, I loved it. So the band name, I don't know if you know this, comes from lyrics from a Beat Happening song, Indian Summer.
I might have looked that up, but I don't think I did.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's good.
All right.
Good song. I should have picked that for my bonus track.
Oh, you had a great one. So, yeah. But. All right. Officially $0. We're entering into like the 25 cent range, I think. It's been so good.
Well, we better get out of here before we end up in the negative.
It starts going down if you linger too long.
Yeah.
The value actually goes down. So, okay. Well, thanks, Jason. We'll stay in touch. And when the Cool Indie Rock comes out, I'll be in touch and recruit you once again. And it won't be
long. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.